It's the 24th day of December. I'm Jill. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. And happy Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas Eve. However you say it, it's Christmas Eve. And it is a special time of the year. It's a special day as we are on the eve of the celebration of the birth of Jesus. There's a good chance that today is about traditions, things that your family has set in place, routines, things that people like and they don't want changed. And some of you change it up every year and do something different. And of course, we do recognize those that are just grieving, mourning, having a hard time doing anything at all. It's not that you don't want to, it's that the desire is not even there. We see you. We recognize that it has been a difficult year for so many people, and the heaviness just sort of sits like a blanket. But I pray that the lifter of your head would come today in a special way for you to know that you are not alone, that you are loved, that you are seen, and you will get through this difficult time. We're here today in the tradition of the Daily Audio Bible and our routine to read the Word of God as we center ourselves around the Word. And what an amazing thing, Christmas Eve, and yet people still make the Bible a priority. I absolutely love that, and I'm so honored to be here with you on this eve of Christmas. Today we are reading 2 Timothy chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we're reading this week in the Voice translation. Paul, an emissary of Jesus, the anointed commissioned by God's will according to the promise of life, found only in Jesus the anointed, to you, my dear child Timothy. May grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the anointed be yours. Timothy, you are constantly in my prayers. Day and night I remember you before God and give thanks to him whom I serve with a clean conscience, as did my ancestors. I really want to see you, especially when I remember how you cried the last time we were together. Yes, I know it would make me joyful to see you again. What strikes me most is how natural and sincere your faith is. I am convinced that the same faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice abides in you as well. This is why I write to remind you to stir up the gift of God that was conveyed to you when I laid my hands upon you. You see, God did not give us a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. So don't be embarrassed to testify about our Lord or for me, his prisoner. Join us in suffering for the good news by the strength and power of God. God has already saved us and called us to this holy calling, not because of any good works we may have done, but because of his own intention, and because eons and eons ago, before time itself existed, he gave us this grace in Jesus the Anointed, the liberating King. And now the time has come. That grace was revealed when our Savior Jesus the Anointed appeared. And through his resurrection, he has wiped out death and brought to life and immortality by way of this good news. I was appointed a preacher, emissary, and teacher of this message. This is exactly why I am suffering. But I am not ashamed because I know him and I have put my trust in him. And I am fully certain that he has the ability to protect what I have placed in his care until that day. Remember the words that you heard from me. Retain them as the model for healthy and sound teaching in the faith and love that are available in Jesus the Anointed. As for the precious thing entrusted to you, Protect it with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. You may know by now that all those in Asia have turned their backs on me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. But Onesiphorus was not ashamed of my chains. So when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me and found me. May the Lord show mercy to his house because he has often stopped by to refresh my weary soul. And may the Lord shower him with divine mercy on the last day. You are well aware of all he did to serve me in Ephesus. But as for you, my child, be empowered by the grace that is in Jesus, the Anointed One. Whatever you heard me teach before an audience of witnesses, I want you to pass along to trustworthy people who have the ability to teach others to. As a good soldier of Jesus, the Anointed, be ready to suffer with me. Remember that soldiers on active duty won't get wrapped up in civilian matters because they want to satisfy those who recruited them. Look at it another way. If someone competes as an athlete, he won't win the race and be crowned with the wreath if he breaks the rules. And the farmer who exhausts himself in the field should be the first to taste his harvest. Think about what I am telling you, and let the Lord give you clarity on all of it. Remember Jesus the Anointed, raised from the dead, descended from David's royal line. This is the crux of my good news. This is why I suffer, and why I am bound and chained like a lawbreaker. But God's word is not in chains. That's why I endure everything for the sake of God's chosen, so that they might experience salvation with lasting, eternal glory through Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King. Here's a statement you can trust. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we remain with him, we will reign alongside him. If we deny him, we will be denied by him. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he is not able to deny himself. Remind others about these things that I am telling you. Warn them before God to stop their useless bickering over words. After all, splitting hairs does no good. It only ruins those forced to listen to their meritless arguments. Timothy, do everything you can to present yourself to God as a man who is fully genuine, a worker unashamed of your mission, a guide capable of leading others along the correct path, defined by the word of truth. Stay away from ungodly babbling because it will only lead deeper into a godless lifestyle. Once these empty voices start to speak, Timothy, they infect and spread, and soon the body is consumed with its cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus fell victim to it, and they walked away from the truth by claiming that the day of resurrection has already arrived. They are clearly disrupting the faith of some who are not well grounded. Regardless of what they do or say, God's foundation is strong and firmly in place, etched with this seal. The Lord knows the ones who belong to him, and everyone who invokes the name of the Lord ought to stop doing what they know to be wrong. Look, in the mansions of the rich and powerful, you will find everything from silver and gold serving bowls to wooden containers and clay jars. Some are used for special occasions, where honor is important. Others are used for more mundane tasks. So tell them, if they will clean up their lives and purify themselves from dishonorable teachings that lead people astray, then they can become honorable vessels, consecrated and useful to the Master, made ready for every good work he has in store. Timothy, run away from youthful desires. Instead, direct your passion to chasing after righteousness, faithfulness, love and peace, along with those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts. Excuse yourself from any conversations that turn into foolish and uninformed debates because you know they only provoke fights. As the Lord's slave, you shouldn't exhaust yourself in bickering. Instead, be gentle, no matter who you are dealing with. Ready and able to teach, tolerant without resentment, gently instructing those who stand up against you. Besides, the time may come when God grants them a change of heart so that they can arrive at the full knowledge of truth. And if they come to their senses, they can escape the devil's snare and walk freed from his captivity and evil bidding. And know this, in the last days, times will be hard. You see, the world will be filled with narcissistic, money-grubbing, pretentious, arrogant, and abusive people. They will rebel against their parents and will be ungrateful, unholy, uncaring, cold-hearted, accusing without restraint, savage, and haters of anything good. Expect them to be treacherous, reckless, swollen with self-importance, and given to loving pleasure more than they love God. Even though they may look or act like godly people, they're not. They deny his power. I tell you, stay away from the likes of these. They're snakes slithering into the houses of vulnerable women gaudy with sin to seduce them. These reptiles can capture them because these women are weak and easily swayed by their desires. They seem always to be learning, but they never seem to gain the full measure of the truth. And just as Janes and Jambres rose up against Moses, these ungodly people defy the truth. Their minds are corrupt and their faith is absolutely worthless. But they won't get too far because their stupidity will be noticed by everyone, just as it was with Janes and Jambres. You have been a good student. You have closely observed how I have lived. You have followed my instructions, my habits, my purpose, my faith, my patience. You've watched how I love and have seen how I endure. You have been with me through persecutions and sufferings. Remember what they did to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra? I endured all of it, and the Lord rescued me from it all. Anyone wishing to live a godly life in Jesus the Anointed will be hunted down and persecuted. But as for the wicked and the imposters, they will keep leading and following each other further and further away from the truth. So surely you ought to stick to what you know is certain. All you have learned comes from people you know and trust, because since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which enable you to be wise and lead to salvation through faith in Jesus, the Anointed. All of Scripture is God-breathed. In its inspired voice, we hear useful teaching, rebuke, correction, instruction, and training for a life that is right, so that God's people may be up to the task ahead and have all they need to accomplish every good work. And now I bring you this charge before God and Jesus the Anointed, the one destined to judge the living and the dead at his glorious appearance and his kingdom. Go out and preach the word. Go whether it's an opportune time or not. Reprove, warn, and encourage, but do so with all the patience and instruction needed to fulfill your calling. Because a time will come when some will no longer tolerate sound teaching. Instead, they will live by their own desires. They'll scratch their itching ears by surrounding themselves with teachers who approve of their lifestyles and tell them what they want to hear. They will turn away from the real truth you have to offer because they prefer the sound of fables and myths. But you must stay focused and be alert at all times. Tolerate suffering. Accomplish the good work of an evangelist and complete the ministry to which you have been called. For I am already being poured out, and the last drops of this drink offering are all that remain. It's almost time for me to leave. I have fought the good fight. I have stayed on course and finished the race, and through it all, I have kept believing. I look forward to what's in store for me, a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the always right and just judge, will give me that day. But it is not only for me, but for all those who love and long for his appearing. Come to me, Timothy, as soon as you can. You see, Demas has fallen for this world, abandoned me, and headed off to Thessalonica. Crescens took off for Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. Luke is the only one left. Bring Mark with you because he is useful in this work and will help look after me. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. On your way here, pick up the cloak I left with Carpus and Traos, and bring the scrolls, especially the parchments. Keep your eye out for Alexander the coppersmith. He came against me with all sorts of evil. May the Lord pay him back accordingly. So watch your back because he has gone overboard to oppose our message. When it was time for my first defense, no one showed up to support me. Everyone abandoned me. May it not be held against them, except the Lord. He stood by me, strengthened me, and backed the truth I proclaimed with power, so it may be heard by all the non-Jews. He rescued me, pried open the lion's jaw, and snatched me from its teeth. And I know the Lord will continue to rescue me from every trip, trap, snare, and pitfall of evil and carry me safely to his heavenly kingdom. May he be glorified throughout eternity. Amen. Give my regards to Prissa, Aquila, and everyone over at Onesiphorus' house. Aristus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus in Miletus because he was sick. Try your best to come before winter blows in. Eubulus says hello, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. May the Lord be with your spirit, and may his grace be with you. Amen. So it is Christmas Eve. We want to give honor to that, but first, we must give honor to the scripture that we read today, 2 Timothy. And of course, it's one of those days again where we hit the entire book of 2 Timothy in one day. So just a quick history, an overview on 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is Paul's second personal letter to Timothy. Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and Paul considered him a true son in the faith. This is a time when Paul was again incarcerated under the emperor Nero, who was persecuting Christians. And we have to understand that it's not persecution as we claim to experience today. It's not the unfriending on social media or the blocking or the uninviting of dinner over differences. We're talking death. We're talking imprisonment. So it's beyond anything we can begin to imagine. So Paul writes this book in hopes to see Timothy again face to face, but also writes it with the understanding that there's a possibility he may not, and that he may die. In this final letter, Paul tells Timothy to be vigilant about his faith and to stay true no matter what happens. Endurance. Endurance is the theme. Endurance are even in the words that he writes to Timothy. And we talk about that a lot. I talk about that a lot here because that is a hard lesson I've learned in my life. We want the quick, the fast, the easy approach. We just want to hit that easy button. But we realize that the true test of our faith even comes through endurance. And so I want to make an honest, humble, and vulnerable admission here. I was really hoping that on this Christmas Eve, there would be something that would jump out in the reading that I could then correlate and parallel to the fact that we are going into this day knowing that tomorrow we are about to celebrate one of the most beautiful times of the year, especially on the Christian calendar, the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And slight disappointment came when I was like, there's nothing there. And an even more honest admission, when I first started this journey of Daily Audio Bible Chronological, I heard some of the calls of things that popped out to people, and I saw some of the posts on the page of things that popped out to people and was immediately met with shame of, why didn't you catch that? Why didn't you get that? How come they heard that and you missed that? That should have been the point that you made, and that could have been such a great talking point. And that happened several times until the Holy Spirit so lovingly corrected me and said, that is the beauty of each person's journey through the Bible, is that we will all hear it differently. We will all hear things and take it away differently as it is applicable to each and everyone's lives, because we are in such different places in our stories, in our lives. And so there is no shame that you didn't hear that. There is no shame that you missed that. It's not that you missed that. It's that you heard something completely different. That's what unifies us as the body of Christ, is that we can have this one goal, this one purpose, but yet we are all working out our faith with fear and trembling personally, because nobody can work out our faith for us. They can help guide us. They can inspire us. They can even hurt us along the way, which has its own place in our story. But nobody can believe for us. And so even my slight disappointment or let down today in knowing that there was nothing particularly conjoining to the fact that it is Christmas Eve, and yet the voice of God still speaks and says, that, my daughter, is what faith is. Jill, he says, that is what faith is, that you believe it even on the days when there is nothing there. When you are looking for expectation, when you are looking for a certain outcome, a certain goal, and it doesn't happen, that is where your faith matters most. Will you still believe? And so on this day, this night, this morning, this evening, whenever you're listening, this journey, this eve of celebrations of celebrations, will our faith declare on a day where it seems like you just can't connect the dots the way that you hoped to, the way that you're looking for them to connect, the expectancy? Will you still believe that he came and that he is coming for you, that he is here and working, even though we may not see the evidence of it before our eyes? Will we abandon our understanding and embrace the absolutely inexplicable mystery of faith? Father, we thank you for the journey. We thank you for mystery. We thank you that you are there with us in all of it. It doesn't upset you. It doesn't frustrate you. It doesn't worry you or give you anxiety. In fact, you spoke about it so much in your word, it must not take you off guard at all. To know that we struggle sometimes with our belief, with our faith. And this message is so clear today of endurance. You must know how hard it is sometimes, actually, to just let go, to abandon all critical thinking, all logical explanation. Throw it to the wind and embrace the unknown. How we thank you that you're there for us in our questions, in our doubts, in our needing to understand, and you are even there in our unrest. But you told us, come to me, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And so today, on this eve of the night, of the day that we celebrate the birth of a king, not a king like our minds can comprehend, a king who chose to come lowly and humbly and in an unexpected way to show the world Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, this king that we have never been able to experience before, nor will we ever experience again. On this night of the eve of the birth of Jesus, our faith rises to join heavenly hosts to sing glory, glory in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. We thank you for coming. Thank you that you came in human flesh to be with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting God, and Prince of Peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep.